If you're a business owner, perhaps you can consider a larger donation for a write-off because we know the government isn't working on saving babies. A donation of $1,000, $2,000, $20,000, all gifts are tax deductible and will reach eternity. Please get involved today. Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter says to us, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." I want to talk to you today about our adversary, the devil. I've entitled this program, "The Fingerprints of Satan." The fingerprints of Satan, or the fingerprints of the devil. If you remember way back when, there was a television show on. My dad loved it, and he got me hooked on it. It's called Perry Mason. Perry Mason crime drama. Perry Mason was the defense attorney. Perry Mason was a program starring Raymond Burr. It came on the air in 1957, and it lasted 9 seasons till 1966, 300 episodes. The thing about Perry Mason was he never lost a case, although Raymond Burr said, "Well, that's not entirely true. I lost 2 cases, but then I got the verdict reversed later in the program. And then 1 case he lost, but it was declared a mistrial, so it wasn't really a loss." All the time he won. Poor Hamilton Berger, the prosecutor, always lost. The theme music for Perry Mason was and is iconic. The theme song from Perry Mason that might take many of you back to watching that program. Just a great, great crime drama. But you know, in Perry Mason, he was always working with his detective, the silver-headed guy. I can't remember his name at the moment, but they were always working together to find out about the case. It seemed like their client was guilty as sin, but it always worked out that their client was in fact innocent, and all the circumstances pointed to their guilt, but they were innocent. So he had to uncover evidence. Now, when we talk about the devil's fingerprints, the fingerprints of Satan, you know, fingerprints at a crime scene, that's what officers use and detectives use to determine, okay, who did what and who had the gun and who had the knife, that kind of thing. They check fingerprints. Well, with the devil, our adversary, the devil, the Bible says he prowls around like a roaring lion, and he is quite the foe. But he's a defeated foe because we can resist him firm in our faith. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 gives us insight into the devil and into his workers. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about false teachers and false prophets and false apostles. And the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 11:13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Well, if Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, here is the big question. How can you and I tell when the devil is at work? How can we tell when the devil is at work in our marriage, in our family, in our church, in our job situation? How do we tell? Well, he's constantly at work. He never takes a break. I always think of the devil as the original Terminator. You remember in the movie The Terminator, where Arnold Schwarzenegger was playing this cyborg that was coming to kill Sarah Connor, and Reese, the one that was sent back from the future to protect her. He said to Sarah Connor, he said, "You don't understand. This Terminator, it doesn't feel pity. It doesn't have mercy, and it will not stop until you're dead." And I always think about the devil. That's, the devil feels no mercy. He feels no pity. Jesus said the thief, John 10:10, he comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's the devil's game plan. I remember when I was in college, I was introduced to the Four Spiritual Laws, the little booklet that Bill Bright wrote for Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU. But it said in the Four Spiritual Laws, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's how it started out. Now, I have come to learn over the years that it's better to start out, as Ray Comfort does, with showing people that they are sinners in need of a Savior rather than showing them that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life. Is it true that God loves people? Yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's true that God loves us, and it's true that God does have a wonderful plan for our lives, wonderful from his perspective, not always from ours, because sometimes he leads us into some difficult waters, and as the old song says, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. The Lord never said life was going to be easy following him. He actually said it was going to be difficult. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world. And so the Lord comes that we might have life and might have it abundantly, and Jesus does love us, and he wants us to have a wonderful plan as we use our lives for his glory. But on the flip side of that, the devil hates you, and he has a terrible plan for your life. His plan for your life is to steal everything that God has planned for you, every blessing that God has for you. He wants to steal that away, to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to kill as a Christian. How does he kill me? Well, he kills my testimony for Jesus Christ. He wants to get me so fouled up in sin and in deception in my mind, you know, that we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing that's raised up against the knowledge of Christ, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But the devil wants to instill lies in our minds so that we believe what's false, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Destroy your life, destroy your marriage, destroy your family, destroy your church. And really, when you think about it, the devil, he unleashes his greatest attacks in our homes, in our marriages, and in our families. Why does he do that? Because he knows if I can destroy the home, and especially the Christian home, if I can destroy that, then it's going to be very, very difficult for the church to get any traction in the world. Because what do people look at? What's the test of your Christianity? It's not how loud you can shout on Sunday morning or how loud you can sing on Sunday morning. It's how do you live it at home? See, at home, that's where the rubber meets the road. We can act a certain way. Even at work, we can act a certain way. But at home, that's where you live. That's where your hair comes down, so to speak. That's where you react. And as you've heard me say before on this program, you can tell a lot more about a person in the way they react versus the way they act. I remember a Kirk Cameron. He's been to my home a couple of different times when he came to First Baptist Texarkana, and I always invited him to dinner, and so he's been gracious, and he's come to dinner, and I always tell him, I said, Kirk, you're just I just like you. You're just a solid guy, a straight shooter, and what you see is what you get. And he said this to me. He said, yeah, but I'm an actor. And I said, oh, that kind of ruined it for me. He said, you got to be careful with actors, because you don't know if it's real or if it's an act. And I said, well, I would hate to think that you're acting your Christianity and it's not real. And he was just kind of tongue-in-cheek, because it is real for Kirk. But here's the thing. We can act a certain way, but you can't react a certain way. You can't have that program. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Somebody does something and boom, you just have this anger that comes up, or this fear that comes up, or this bitterness that comes up, or things come into your mind that may slip out of your mouth. You know, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. It's very difficult to control your reaction. We can control our actions, but reactions really show what's inside. And so when you get squeezed, I talked about this point with Bert Harper, my pastor, when I was in Houston. Dr. Drummond Shook, he said, your life is like a tube of toothpaste. And when the pressure comes and the circumstances put the squeeze on you, what comes out is what's inside. Now, when Jesus is sitting on the throne of your life, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, Peter said, 1 Peter 3:15, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. When he is filling your life, when you get squeezed, what comes out? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But when, then what comes out? Well, the fruit of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh. And as we read about those in Galatians chapter 5, it's not a pretty picture. The deeds of the flesh are evident, Paul says: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. That's what happens when you get squeezed, when the self is on the throne. Now, how does that work with the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, to steal and kill and destroy? How does he do that? And how does he disguise himself so that we think he's an angel of light? Well, the devil never comes to a party unless it's a masquerade party. The devil doesn't want to show you his true colors. He wants to come across very sophisticated and wise and smart. You know, how did the devil come to Eve? He didn't come like a roaring lion. He didn't scare her. He came like he's her buddy. He's her friend. I'm giving you inside information about God. Indeed, he says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, indeed, has God said, has he really said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Question mark. That's how the devil comes. He comes with a question mark. He takes where God has put a period, where God has put a command, and he twists that command just a little bit, just slightly, and he adds a question mark. How do you know when the devil's fingerprints are on someone's ministry? They're adding question marks to the Word of God. One guy on Twitter, I'll not even say his name, but he loves to be controversial, and he calls himself an apostle, and not an apostle, but a teacher of Christ. You know, I'm a Christian, and I'm a pastor, and I'm a teacher, and the Bible is a book of questions, not a book of answers. He actually tweeted that. Bible is a book of questions, not a book of answers. You're not going to get answers from the Scripture. You're just going to get questions. That's what the devil does. He adds a question mark to the Word of God. He wants to get people unsure about the Word, to question the Word of God, to question the character of God, to question the goodness of God, to question the commands of God, to question the moral boundaries of God. And he says that everything is so nuanced and it's so complicated. It's not. It's really not. It's very straightforward. Life is not difficult in terms of knowing right from wrong when you just believe the Word of God. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about the devil's fingerprints. How can you know when the devil is at work? How can you see where he is working and how he is working so you can resist him firm in your faith? Don't go away. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. We're talking about the devil's fingerprints. How can you know when the devil is at work? How do you tell if he disguises himself as an angel of light? How can you tell when he is working and working his evil plan to kill, to steal and kill and destroy? The Bible tells us, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Don't let your guard down, because the devil doesn't ever take a break. He doesn't go on vacation. He is the original Terminator. He is working constantly, the devil and his demonic horde, to steal and kill and destroy. Now, the Bible says that we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Think of that as the unholy Trinity. And the devil is the quarterback of that unholy Trinity. He is working through your flesh. Your flesh is that part of you that wants to rebel against God. Now, we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, the Bible says, if indeed the Spirit of Christ is in you, but if any man, the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Romans chapter 8. So the moment that we put our faith and trust in Christ, we're not in the flesh anymore, we're in the Spirit, but we still deal with the flesh. The flesh has been crucified. And we've died, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, the Bible says. And Romans chapter 6 makes that clear. We're dead to sin, we're alive to God. But Romans 7 says, but we still deal with the flesh. We still have to fight the flesh. And although the flesh is dead on paper, the flesh doesn't seem dead in practice. And so what do? Every day we have to put to death, mortify the flesh, and we have a tendency to want to manage the flesh. We can't manage the flesh. You have to mortify the flesh. You have to make no provision for the flesh with regard to its lusts. And so we deal with the flesh, and Romans 8 says that the victory comes when we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the world is the world's system. It's against the Lord. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. It's the system that the enemy has set up, the devil has set up. It's this this anti-Christ, anti-God system. The whole world, it says in 1 John chapter 5, lies in the lap of the evil one, lies in the power of the evil one. So you have the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil quarterbacks that unholy Trinity. And the devil, as we said, he is very cunning and crafty. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The serpent is the devil. Revelation 12, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. It was the devil who deceived Eve, and he got her to question the word of God. So here is what we need to remember. The devil will come at us with questions, very subtle questions. He doesn't just jump out from behind a bush in the Garden of Eden and, you know, he's got horns and a pitchfork and a pointed tail, and he says to Eve, "Boo, I'm the devil." He doesn't come at us that way. He disguises himself as an angel of light. So we need to have our senses trained, Hebrews 5:14, to discern good and evil. And have your senses trained so that you would be mighty in spirit, so that you could just sense when something is not right, when something is off, when you listen to a teacher. How can you tell if that guy is telling you the truth? You have your senses trained to discern good and evil. 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about false teachers. False prophets arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. They'll do it. How do they do it? Secretly. They just slide it in there. They're going to introduce these heresies by stealth. Andy Stanley, in my opinion, is doing this. He is putting question marks after the Word of God. He is leading people astray and getting people away from the Word of God rather than driving them into the Word of God. Hey, we need to unhitch from the Old Testament. No, we don't. We're not under the Old Testament, but everything from the New Covenant pulls from the Old Covenant, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, Jesus is Yahweh saves. The name Jesus, Yeshua, means Jehovah saves, Yahweh saves, and the God of the Old Testament is Jesus. And so we need to connect those two, obviously, and the commands of God, the moral commands of God given in the Old Testament, those don't change. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, people like to throw out, well, you know, homosexuality, yeah, it was condemned in the Old Testament, but we're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're in the New Testament, and there's freedom in the New Testament. There's not freedom to sin in the New Testament. And God's moral standard in the Old Testament is still God's moral standard today. You shall not commit adultery, commandment number 7. And that covers a lot of things. It's not just married people having sex outside of their marriage bonds, but that's fornication. You're having sex and you're not married. That's any kind of sexual perversion. Homosexuality is sexual perversion. It's the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, it is King James language, vile and unnatural. Not only is that a sin, but it's even a different level in terms of going against nature, because we were born in, and nature shows us that it is natural for a male to want a female and a female to want a male. So we need to be careful about false prophets, and we need to see the fingerprints of the devil in 2 Peter chapter 2 and the book of Jude. They are very, very similar, because they're both dealing with false prophets and false teachers, and they let us know two things where you can always tell a false prophet. They are sensual. It says, many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. They're always sensual. They have eyes full of adultery, 2 Peter 2:14, that never cease from sin. And they're greedy for gain. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Literally, they make merchandise out of you. They look at their followers as ATM machines. Hey, you give to me, and God will give to you, and that's the program, and it's always this prosperity gospel with a false teacher. And listen, I live high on the hog because God wants to bless us all, and He wants us to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Listen, how did the devil come to Jesus with the temptation in the wilderness? Matthew chapter 4. He tempted him in the physical. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. You're hungry, and satisfy your hunger. Don't wait on God the Father. You just satisfy your hunger. You can do it yourself. Every temptation is a temptation for us to not trust God. And then he takes him and puts him, shows him all the kingdoms of this world. And he said, all this is mine. I'll give it to you if you'll just bow down and worship me. And you'll have health, and you'll have wealth, and you'll have abundance, and it'll be all there. And you don't have to go through suffering, and you don't have to go through the cross. And you can have people that are just chanting your name. I'll take you to the top of the pinnacle of the temple, and you can jump down and do 5 backflips and land on your feet, and he'll give his angels charge concerning you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And there's the boastful pride of life. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, command these stones to become bread. The lust of the eyes, look at all the kingdoms of this world. The boastful pride of life, look at how people will ooh and awe over you as you jump off the pinnacle of the temple. And the devil uses all of that. Now, any kind of teaching that you would hear on the radio or on television that emphasizes prosperity for the believer, And if you follow Jesus, it's just going to be wonderful, and he will just give you abundance and houses and cars and lands, all that kind of stuff. That's not the true gospel. That's the prosperity gospel, which is a false gospel. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. The devil's fingerprints. Hey, the Bible tells us to be on the alert. Don't let your guard down. Do you remember the show Star Trek with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock and Scotty and Bones? I was a big fan of the original series. I never really got on board with the future series that they did with the new Kirk and Spock and all that stuff, and the new Captain Picard, all the things that they did in series after the original Star Trek. But I liked the original. And one of the things, when you would watch Star Trek, the ship would be under in danger, and Captain Kirk would call for red alert. That's what the Apostle Peter is saying. Be on the alert. It's red alert time, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. And what is he trying to do? Seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. Now, your adversary, the devil, the word devil, diabolos, that literally means false accuser. And the devil accuses us, Revelation chapter 12, he accuses us before God day and night. And some have really struggled with this because, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and the devil accuses us before God. Now, what's the difference between Holy Spirit conviction and satanic accusation? How do you know if what you're feeling is conviction from the Holy Spirit versus condemnation and accusation from the devil? Here is the difference. The Holy Spirit convicts us of unconfessed sin so that we would come to the Lord, get our hearts right, get our sin out of the shadows and under the blood of Jesus, and confess that to him. Confess it and forsake that. Forsake our sin. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. And so he convicts us to do that. He points in and he points the finger of conviction in our heart. Says, Jeff, you lied. You lusted. You were bitter. You were this. You were that. You got angry at your wife. Whatever it is, he convicts, so that we would get it right. He always convicts to get us clean. What does the devil do? He condemns, he accuses, and he will bring up confessed sin. And he will say, oh yeah, but look what you did. You remember what you did last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? And what do people do? They feel that from the devil. And see, the thing is, the devil always works on our feelings. So if we feel like we're just, you know, I feel like there's no way God could forgive this, even though he says in his word he did forgive me, I just feel like it's almost unforgivable. So we end up confessing the same sin that we committed 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago. We confess that same sin over and over and over and over and over and over again. And every time we do, we're telling God, I don't believe you forgave me. I don't believe 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The devil will always condemn you and condemn me over confessed sin. It can't be forgiven, he will say. And you need to just drop out. You need to quit going to church. If the people at church really knew you, if they knew all your secrets, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with you. And furthermore, God does know all your secrets. And you think God loves you? You think God wants anything to do with you? Look what you did. And we look at what we did and we say, you're right, I'm just such a, I'm a scum, I'm a bum, I'm a loser. And we so easily believe the lies of the devil. That's the only way the devil gets his work done, is through lies. Jesus said he is a liar and the father of lies. And the Lord, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. The devil's fingerprints, do you see them? Do you see him at work? Are you able to recognize, even though he disguises himself as an angel of light, are you able to see through the disguise? Are you spending time in the Word of God so that your senses are trained to discern good and evil? You know, you can detect his presence. When the devil is at work, he brings discord. He brings confusion. He makes crooked the straight paths of the Lord. You hear from preachers, oh, this is so complicated. The sexual morality is such a complicated thing. Gender is such a complicated thing. It's not. It's very simple. The Lord made them male and female. It's not complicated at all. The moment that we yield to God and say, Lord, you set things up the way you set them up, I yield to you as king. I'm not king. You're the king. And I'm not the engineer of the whole universe. You are. And I don't set the parameters of morality. You do. And I yield to you and I yield to your word, not my will, but yours be done. Man, you make that declaration and life is so much easier. You take the confusion off the table. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the devil's fingerprints. How can you be able to poke through his disguise as he disguises himself as an angel of light and see where he is working so you can resist him firm in your faith? Well, we're up against a break, but we're going to open the phone lines when we come back, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I'd love to hear from you. And your testimony, if you have a brief testimony, your testimony can really help somebody else. So don't hesitate to call in and let's visit and talk. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And just wanted to mention, I am the founder of From His Heart Ministries. You've heard me say that before. And From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. You can find out more at fromhisheart.org. lots of free resources there, lots of sermons and materials to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And we are opening the phone lines at this time, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we've been talking about the devil's fingerprints, how he prowls around like a roaring lion, how he is a deceiver and the master deceiver. He's a liar and the father of lies, and we need to be very aware, very sensitive. We need to be on red alert because the devil is always trying to get in to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the number to call, 888-589-8840, and we have a first-time caller, Tom from Texas. Tom, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I appreciate your program and all that you do.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to get your take on the last verse in Romans 1 about people that accept or condone that way of life. And I can hang up and just let you finish up, if you would.
Okay, Tom, thank you so much. Thanks for calling. Okay, so here's what it says in Romans 1, just to kind of give a lead in. So Romans 1, beginning in verse 18, talks about the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They hold back the truth. We live in a world today where fake news and when we had all this stuff with COVID, they were holding back the truth, suppressing the truth, wouldn't let that come out. They don't want the truth to be shared about sexuality and gender, the things that are destroying people's lives today. And so it goes on to say, God, because people don't, they reject God and they don't like to retain God in their knowledge anymore. And even though they know about God, because they have the witness of creation and they have the witness of conscience, they still reject God, that God gives them over. And he gives them over, first of all, to the lusts of their hearts so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. We have a sexual revolution, and we've experienced that in America for sure and in the world. And then they have the homosexual revolution. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to homosexuality, to degrading passions, and women exchanged their natural function for that which is unnatural, and men with men and women with women. And then the third area where God gives us over, he gives us over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. And then it goes on to say, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. I mean, it's just a long laundry list of all these terrible sins. And then as Tom was saying, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, these are participants in there, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Misery loves company. And so those who are in sin want others to be in sin with them. It makes them uncomfortable if you're not committing sin with them. Now, I experienced this in a small measure when I first became a Christian and quit drinking with my buddies. And so they wanted, if I would go out with them, this is when I was a senior in high school, I'd go out with them on the weekends. Well, they want me to drink. And I would be like, no, I don't do that anymore. Well, why not? Here, just have a drink. And it was really, it would be bothersome to them that I wasn't drinking with them. They wanted me to drink along with them. And it's the same kind of principle here. These people know the ordinances of God. Sir Ian McKellen, the actor, very famous actor, when he would go, he was a homosexual, there is a homosexual, when he goes into a hotel, he says he takes out the Bible in the hotel and he rips out the pages that condemn homosexuality. He said, I don't like those pages. I don't like the holiness code of Leviticus. And so I tear that out because I don't want that that passage to condemn me. Or rather than align his lifestyle with the Word of God, he just rips the Word of God out. Well, he knows what it says. He knows the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death because you've You've sinned against God, and the soul that sins shall die, Ezekiel 18:4. They not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Those in the homosexual community, those in the transgender, we call them the transgender community. I mean, it's just people that are living in this sin and have rejected God's standards. They're living in this sin. Well, they like to get more and more and more on board with them. It makes them feel better. You know, here's the thing, and they want the church, they want the church so badly to agree with them and to say, what you're doing is good and fine and right, and we applaud you. And people are doing that, and Andy Stanley is doing that, and Jen Hatmaker is doing that, and Beth Moore is doing that. Going soft on the boundary markers of this is what God says is true and right, and this is what God says is wrong. And it's not ambiguous, and it's not cloudy, and it's not muddy, and it's not something we can't figure out, and it's not complicated. It's very straightforward. I struggle to understand. Now, I'm a very black and white kind of guy. I've told people before, I'm about as nuanced as a sledgehammer because the Lord's just wired me that way. But when I hear people and they're J.D. Greer preaching on Romans 1 and his precursor to the passage was, and this is the hardest sermon I've ever had to preach, just agonizing over this. And it's like, why? You're the delivery boy, you know, and you deliver the mail for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're his herald. Thus says the Lord. Boom, this is what the King says. And I know that the King is all wise and he is all loving. And so anything that comes out of his mouth is going to be true. Jesus was full of grace and truth. What he says is going to be full of grace and truth. It's going to be the way for people. It's going to be the pathway to experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. There's no reason to agonize over that. You just let her rip. Hey, this is what the Lord says. Do you want to get on board with the Lord's plan and the Lord's program to have a relationship with him that would fill your life? I came that they might have life, Jesus said, and might have it abundantly. But when we're agonizing over, oh, I have to tell people this and this is not good news. Remember this, the gospel, it's good news if you first believe the bad news. And the bad news is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Every single person outside of Christ is in serious, serious trouble. They're on the highway to hell, and they're one heartbeat from an eternity without God in hell. And the good news is Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead and offers eternal life to anyone who will repent, turn from sin, and believe, put their faith and trust in Jesus. So, Romans 1:32, they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. People in that boat, Romans 1:32, they're not lost forever. There's still hope for them, but the hope is in Jesus, and unless you repent and believe, as Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You have to turn from that way of thinking. You have to turn from that direction. You got to get off the broad road and put your faith and trust in Jesus and come through the narrow gate and get on the narrow road that leads to life. So I hope that's helpful. Thanks so much for that question, Tom. God bless you, my brother. We have David on the line from Iowa. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
I just, when you mentioned that line from Terminator, I used to work with a youth years ago, and I used that line before to describe what it is like, what Satan is like when he's coming after us. He doesn't feel anything. You can't reason with him. His only purpose is to come and destroy you. And so that just really, I thought, oh man, am I the only one that ever thought of that? And you thought of it too. So great minds think alike, right?
Yeah, there you go.
But I, as I was thinking, I wanted to add just a little bit more to that. You know, Terminator 2, and this is kind of like back then, you know, it was more acceptable. People respected, even though they didn't follow God, they kind of had more, at least a respect for the church. Like your buddy's drinking, and I experienced the same thing back in my days when I quit drinking and doing all that. My buddies would say, come on, just have one, you know, because they're uncomfortable that, you know, you're calling out a sin just by your actions, kind of like you're recognizing, right, hey, I don't do this anymore. But Terminator 2, the bad guy was a cop. He represented authority. And that's what's happening today. I mean, our government is condoning sin across the board. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like Terminator 2. But at any rate, that Terminator movie just has a lot of stuff we can use to describe that. So at any rate, I just wanted to share that with you. I appreciate your program and all that you do.
Hey, thanks, David. And that's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that in Terminator 2, that the good guy or the bad guy is the cop. And then Arnold becomes, who was the bad guy, now becomes the good guy. And so it's kind of flipped on its ear. But I think the devil is the original Terminator. And it's such a clear picture of the enemy. He doesn't care about you at all. He's just, and now what we see with Hamas, in bringing it to today, Hamas is a demon-inspired government. They're coming to steal and kill and destroy. And you see the fingerprints of Satan all over that group, that terrorist group. So what do? They are going to kill innocent people. Not innocent before God, but innocent in terms of the conflict. And we're going to destroy a whole family, and we're going to murder you in such a gruesome way. And we're going to cut the head off of your infant child. I mean, just beyond anything our minds can comprehend that they would do that. And if people can't see the face of evil in Hamas. Now, as I said yesterday, those people are not irredeemable. Because the Lord has us here on this earth to be his witnesses, and the enemy is not people. The enemy is the devil, but the devil uses people. Some people are given over completely to the devil, and they're going to be destroyed in hell forever. But we don't know necessarily who those people are, so we keep preaching Jesus. But as a nation, just as you would in your own family, if someone comes in to destroy your family, you're going to fight them, and you will fight them perhaps to the death if your family is at stake, because God has given you the responsibility of protecting your family. And so you just magnify that to police officers, law enforcement, armies. Armies are sent to protect the people. And so we are fully behind at American Family Radio, American Family Association, From His Heart Ministries, First Baptist Church, Texarkana, Real Truth for Today. Firmly behind Israel. We stand with Israel because Israel, God stands with Israel. And when you're on the side of Israel, you're on the side of God. When you're on the side of Gaza, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, you're on the side of the enemy. And there is no middle ground. So God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling in. We got just a little bit of time, but we have Paula from Oklahoma. Paula, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. It's me again. So I was delivered out of the homosexual lifestyle, and I'm just still having a hard time finding the church. And there is there's a huge mega church here, and it's online, but they have campuses. Uh-huh. And I was just wondering, are other churches supposed to partner? And they don't state, whether about inclusion of homosexuality, they're not prejudice towards anything, and they don't really make a clear statement on that.
Right.
Should other churches be partnering with them?
Yeah, great question, Paula. I think it kind of depends. I would say this. I'd say it's very important for a church to let people know where they stand on critical issues that are in the culture today. I said this last Sunday from the pulpit. We never want to do a bait and switch. We want to tell people, hey, we're going to speak the truth in love. We're going to let you know where we stand on issues, what we believe in theology, and how that carries over into the issues of the day with sexuality and the issue of transgenderism, all those things. We love people enough to tell them the truth. So I would say if I were going to partner with a church like that, I would want to know very clearly where they stood on those issues. That would be important to me. Well, we have run out of time, but thanks for being a faithful listener. And go out, shine, and share. And I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.